What's up? This is Brandon, and I'm with Jonathan, and you're listening to the Ordinary Radical Podcast.
Hey, hey, yo, what's up? You're listening to Ordinary Radical Podcast, where we talk about discipleship, biblical living, mission, and leadership, how it correlates in your personal life and the local church, and we're glad to be here. Yeah, so what's going on?
What's going on with you? You're an old man now.
I know.
If you're listening, I just want you to know, he's in his 30s. Life is almost over for him now.
Man, you know, I was telling you, you know, Jesus started his, you know, earthly ministry at age 30, and he ascended and be with the Lord at age 33. So I got 3 years to go. So, man, I'm in a bit of panic attack, maybe, perhaps. I just need a bit of counseling, perhaps, right now.
Did you have a good birthday, though?
Oh, man, it was fantastic. Went to Branson and, you know, took our family vacation. I haven't taken, like, the last 2.5 years. The last time I was in Japan. So it was real good. You know, I was, you know, missed our church, family. But it was awesome just attending church. I was holding my daughter's hand, and we were all singing together in worship service and, you know, sitting under a sermon. And, you know, went to Branson, Silver Dollar City. It was like, rides, first time for both of my girls. It was just precious. It was awesome. Very family-oriented, friendly place. And, yeah, it was fantastic. We had a great time. It was awesome.
That's awesome. And for me, new in my news is I put the exclamation mark on my doctoral studies.
Whoop,
right?
Whoop,
we're
whoop,
done.
Whoop.
I'm just excited I'm done. I'm just excited. Now, you have some more work to do. And I feel bad for you.
hey. You know, like Charles Spurgeon said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. So
I'm just saying,
one at a time, you know, I'm just going through. But I'm going to have my oral defense, you know, Lord willing, soon. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. You could give me some tips, you know, what to do and this and that and what not to do, maybe. Yeah.
You print off your dissertation in pink. And it's make it smell like cotton candy.
Oh, wow.
And they will look at that and just think, this guy there's something special about him.
Yeah, he's so special, we are not going to let him pass.
Right? Maybe. So today we got an interesting topic we're going to go into, and I'm going to preface this by saying this morning I was at a chapel at a school, a Christian school, and I was talking. And I was actually using the verse from Matthew where Jesus says, "Come to me who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And tying into that, we talked about anxiety because it's so prolific. And two kids came up to me, and they said different things. One asked, how could she deal with her anxiety? And one asked, where does this anxiety come from? So this is kind of what we're talking about today.
Man, I mean, I don't know about you, but it seems like to me, I'm not quoting any statistics and stuff like that. The longer I'm in ministry, you know, been in like for a decade right now, like on a staff level, but it seems like more prevalent. Do you agree? Like anxiety seems like left to right, in the front, in the back. It seems like everywhere I turn around in the church.
Yeah. There's many statistics, but one of the statistics I looked at said about 18% of people deal with some sort of anxiety. Of course, those are going to be skewed depending on your worldview. I get that. But right now, I believe anxiety is one of the most prescribed mental area for psychologists and counselors. They, you know, so there's anxiety everywhere. And I've seen it in the youth, too. Whenever I was a youth pastor, one of the things that I saw transition was kids coming in with anxiety at teenage. You know, mm-hmm. At one point, you know, you're in your 40s and you have anxiety, or you're having a midlife crisis and you have anxiety. You can't pay your bills and you have an anxiety. But these are kids that are just going through high school and they are totally anxious about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, and we're talking about anxiety. We're talking about, like, you know, maybe medical terms that would say insomnia, mm-hmm. right? We're talking about erratic heartbeat. We're talking about, you know, panic attacks. I mean, these are real stuff. I mean, fear of losing control and constant worry. It's like 24/7, 365, nonstop.
Right. And before we jump into what we're going to talk about with answering those kids, I do want to give just a little disclaimer. Hey, we are not licensed professional counselors, and we want you to know that. Right? We both have backgrounds in some counseling and things like that, but we're not licensed to diagnose you or anything like that. And so we want you to know that. And you need to trust whichever, if you're seeing a Christian counselor, I want you to trust them and to trust that you're safe in their hands. We also want to say, hey, life has struggles and has problems, and we get that too. That's just part of life. We were talking about some death recently. Since I saw Jonathan, and Jonathan doesn't know this, I don't think, but my aunt passed away. And she was 49 years old. And so in our family, she died of cancer. There was some pain and things because she was so young and all that. That's real. That's part of life. And then we have just one more. Jonathan, anxiety can be healthy. How can it be a healthy part of life?
Yeah, so, I mean, when we talk about anxiety, we automatically, I think at least majority of people, again, I don't want to do over reductionist observation about anxiety, but it seems to be more the negative side, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's a healthy side. I think there's definitely anxiety when we think about, you know, Philippians, let's say, Philippians chapter 4, it says, like, do not be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication. Earlier in Philippians, actually chapter 2, verse 19, Paul's saying this, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly so that I may be encouraged and when I hear your condition. I mean, Paul is, seriously concerned, serious about the state of where the church was at, and he was sending Timothy the best, and because there was concern there. I mean, so there's a, we're not saying that you shouldn't worry, like it's, let go, let God, everything, and, everything is fine and dandy. There should be concern. Like, we're talking about the political tension right now with all the voting that's happening, right? There should be a sense like saying, Pastor, I'm really concerned with the state of our nation. Oh, yeah, you ought to be concerned. Let's say, your teenage son is not back home at 12 a.m., way past curfew time. As a godly father, as a godly mother, you ought to be concerned. I mean, those are good things. So there's good concern. In the podcast, the rest of it, we're going to really focus more on the negative side of anxiety, maybe slash fear, right?
Yeah, and anxiety, whenever it's hitting this heavy negative side, that's when it becomes sin. Mm-hmm. It becomes you're not trusting God, and it's controlling your life. And it's hurting you and your relationships. That's where we're going at. Mm-hmm.
And also the last disclaimer we want to talk about is that just because you're Christian doesn't mean it's always there's peace, and all your problems are going to go away. Like life is going to be prosperous and God's going to give you comfort and protect you and preserve you. I mean, I just don't find that in the scripture at all, actually. In fact, we find quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. Paul goes through quite a struggle. He talks about the thorn in the flesh. I mean, that's anxiety, that's fear. I mean, what? I mean, I thought if I became a Christian, I'm always going to be happy. Life's going to be all fine and dandy. That's not what we're talking about. It's part of life, but really knowing how to deal with it. Like, Brandon was talking about, emotions having control over us. So the emotion lords over you rather than us having, with faith, by grace, walking through with Christ, in Christ, how we, respond to these emotions. Emotions are a great dictator, but it ought not to be a dictator.
Yeah. It even reminds me of just Paul and talking about the flesh. Really, it becomes a flesh issue. That impacts you completely. But let's not go too far into that. Where does anxiety come from? We need to start there. That was one of the questions that was asked to me this morning. And you had some good things to talk about.
Yeah, so obviously, we live in a sin-tainted fallen world. We have to turn to the Genesis, which is the beginning, right? And so we looked, there was a world that where nobody was sad and nothing was bad. But since Adam and Eve turned away from the Lord and they began to live for their own kingdom and their own world and their own life, and they took the fruit and turned away, that's where sin entered in. So at the heart of it, we have to admit anxiety is part of the fallen nature of sin, and it is sin, and that's where it originates, and we are the seed of Adam. Mm-hmm. As Paul said, so I think first of all it starts there. That's where it comes from.
And I want to add to what you're saying. I think, you know, you think of the serpent, and the serpent, what does he say? You know, he looks at Eve and says, did God really say? And so this comes from the fact that we question our security in God. We question the foundation and security that we have in God. And whenever we do that, that turns to anxiety, because all of a sudden I'm not trusting God for all my needs. All of a sudden I'm relying on what I can control and hold.
Wow, wow, that's real deep. I mean, you know, in a biblical sense, I think terms that we could say, you know, we've used more the medical term earlier. I think, you know, when we find anxiety, I think it's we find a craving of the heart, right? So there's a sense of connection to idolatry. I think there's anxiety there that's attached with that self-gratification. I would say fear of man. There's a book written by Ed Welch said, you know, when people are big and God is small. So there's a complexity of a vertical connection that we have and a horizontal connection that causes anxiety. So one thing that we want to say, it's, you know, Matthew 15, verse 19 talks about the inner man. It talks about the heart. So, you know, sometimes people come see me and say, I have a panic attack, I got to get rid of it. I'm like, yeah, panic attack is a huge issue. But panic attack, we just don't want to get rid of just panic attack, like behavioral modification. And disregard what's happening within the heart. Because, you know, like I often say to our congregation, the fruit of your life reveals the root of your heart. So where does anxiety come from? I think it comes from the inner heart of the inner man. And we have a decision-making point, which one we're going to say, we're going to choose God's way or we're going to choose man's way, which our own self-preservation of self-exaltation, living for our own focused living, then I think anxiety birthed out of that.
Yeah. In therapy, there's the major therapy right now that is kind of prolific, especially with Christian counselors, is cognitive behavioral therapy. And this is what we're talking about. Like, you can try to change your actions all you want, but if you don't change the thought and don't change the heart, it's not going to work. So what we need to do is we have to have a heart change. We have to deal with those issues and insecurities, and that'll change what happens on the outside. And didn't you tell me, I mean, you were talking earlier about how people want control of their life and talking about the throne of their heart. And talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, yeah. So I was reading a book by Paul Tripp. You know, it's phenomenal, phenomenal preacher, phenomenal theologian, phenomenal shepherd and pastor. And I just really lean on some of the things. He talked about the changing of the heart. And I think that, you know, Galatians 2:20 comes in, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And I think a lot of times, I draw this imagery a lot of times, you know, when we see like a cross of a crucifix, like maybe we find it more in the Catholic Church, you know, we find Christ on that cross. And I say a lot of times what the Christian life is really about is taking Christ off that cross and letting Christ sit on the throne of your life, and you're getting off the throne of your life, and you are dying to yourself. It's no longer my life to live, but I've been crucified. Jonathan Hayashi has been crucified with Christ, and now Christ rules and reigns in my life. It's King Jesus leads and guides my life, and let the blessed Holy Spirit to break down every idol, cast out every foe. So you're dethroning yourself. You're no longer letting that control your life. Does it make sense?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And control is something that we all, just about all people struggle with. You know, even in our prayers, like you hear this something prayed like this often, and it's God, please help me in my life. And we have that ownership of it's my life, God, please take a part. You know, but it's really something that it's really our lives are a sacrifice or a gift to God when we live them correctly.
Yeah. So I, you know, just kind of piggybacking, we're talking about worry, anxiety. I like to think anxiety and fear are really kind of like both sides of the same coin, really. And really, at the heart of it is worry. So, you know, I would say what worry comes from us turning away from God, right? So it's really a relationship between God and man, and faith comes into that. So when we shift our burden or life to ourself, like I'm in charge, there's assuming of an attitude of action that we are alone responsible for everything, handling problems, the problems of life. Then we are acknowledging that, God, I don't need you in a sense. God, I don't need your power. I don't need your sovereignty. Rather, I'm going to seek my own kingdom and my own righteousness first so that I can be preoccupied with all that. That's anxiety.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Also, anxiety can be multiplied by your experiences and what happens in your life. I think of like a child, you know. My child knows that I'm going to come home. He knows because he trusts daddy. Daddy's going to come home at this time every day. if I stop coming home at that time consecutively, my child will then begin to have a little anxiety towards that. Is daddy really coming home? And so experiences impact us, and I want to kind of build just some really, it's not application, but just some real life things and thoughts into this that I had written down here. One is that culturally, guys, a lot of us, we don't want to deal with negative experience. It's not something we value. And so we run from it. We hide from it. And we never flex our spiritual muscles. And we never grow, right? Doesn't Paul thank God for the things that he had to go through, mm-hmm. right? And without that, we don't have a full faith. Mm-hmm. So going through those hard times, that's going to make you a stronger person. Mm-hmm. I really think that one of the reasons why I don't deal with that much anxiety is that my past had a lot of hard times, mm-hmm. and I learned to trust God, mm-hmm. right? You know, today, if I couldn't pay a bill, if I couldn't pay my rent, I would really just say, well, God's got it. I trust him. You know, mm-hmm. He's going to take care of me.
Yeah, it's like the Psalm 46, right? Mm-hmm. The psalmist says, God is our refuge, our strength, and our present help in trouble. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I will not fear. I think that's talking about anxiety.
Right.
Though the earth gives way, though the mountains move into the heart of sea, though the waters roar in the foam, though the mountains tremble, swelling. And saying, the Lord is my banner. He's the one I turn to. And that's the posture that we have, that, you know, God is in control. I'm trusting. So I'm not saying like your situation is bad, your circumstance is bad. Life is full of trouble. Mm-hmm. But that is not itself what anxiety is. Sometimes people say, yeah, if I only had a better position, if I only had, you know, more possession, if I had a better relationship or mm-hmm. certain stuff, then I won't have anxiety. Well, it doesn't matter what kind of situation you're in. But those things may kind of contribute to it, but they're not the cause of mm-hmm. anxiety, right? But God lets us go through testing, trials, tribulation of our life so that we would continue to turn to him, because as, you know, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. Mm-hmm. So we are, you know, securing our identity or position in Christ and looking to him by grace through faith, and we're constantly turning to him. And this is all the days of our life. This is what we do in the Christian life. And we're saying, God, I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you. And then God strengthens our faith. Mm-hmm. He uses that that's the reason I think James says, do not, you know, consider pure joy, brothers, whenever you face various trials of your faith, because the testing of your faith is going to produce what? Perseverance. Mm-hmm. Romans says, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and then hope. Whoa. So hope, anxiety, trust, and living for ourself. I think all that is under the banner of, we're talking about anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at our time, if we're going to try to stay close, we need to move on to the next thing. How do we deal with anxiety? And, you know, I kind of want to start with just a very, just normal life. I want to ask you, Jonathan, how do you personally deal with anxiety?
Yeah, I mean, I think immediately I just start thinking through some of these things.
Right.
But again, I think naturally we want to take the fleshly desire of like, I'm in control, I'm going to deal with this. Mm-hmm. So I'm just being honest and real here. I have the tendency to do that as well. So there needs to be where scripture and the gospel drives our lives. So immediately I often quote Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious for nothing, mm-hmm. but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So one, first of all, what I try to do, how do I deal with that? Just, there's nothing I need to be anxious. Mm-hmm. Nothing on this earth. And second, pray everything. Everything in this life, I can pray to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But then third, expect God's peace, mm-hmm. which would guard, which I really can't explain, by the way. If you're not a Christian and you're like, man, I have no idea what he's talking about. I'm sorry, I can't really explain. It's beyond wisdom, it's beyond words. A prayer is a solution to our anxiety, a cure to our worries. And Christ gives that to us, to believers in Christ. It's a promise, according to that verse that we see, because we are in the Lord, and that's something we rejoice, mm-hmm. right? That's earlier two verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice, because we have that in Christ. So that's what I try to do. honestly, whenever I try to, whenever I face various trials of the faith, I try to turn to the Lord as much as I can.
Yeah.
By His help, by the blessed Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and he was talking about Jonathan's talking about peace that we can't explain if you're not a believer. In the Matthew 11 passage, Jesus says He'll give you rest for your soul, and I think that ties into that. Soul rest is something that's just very spiritual and very much of God that I don't think that most people experience if they don't know Jesus, especially, right? It's deep within us. Yeah,
and also, can I just piggyback what you're talking about? Like, again, on and on and on. I think it is a relationship with the Lord. I love that hymn that you know we so often sang, but it goes like this: what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege that we carry everything to God in prayer.
Right.
Oh, what a peace that we so often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we do not care. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God
in prayer.
Prayer. So again, I think so often when people are going through troubles, that's the last thing people want to do.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I think one preacher said it well. When you look forward, you're going to be, you know, distressed. And you look backward, you're going to be dismayed. You look around, you're going to be discouraged. But when you look upward, you're going to be determined and destined. So don't make prayer your last chance. Make prayer your first choice. And so even with our anxiety-driven world, we can genuinely have peace in the mm-hmm. Lord. Just like a garrison soldier, like, that were going to come and conquer your nation. There's something about God's peace, like an armed soldier of military tactic will be there, and you see it, and you're like, everything's going to be okay. God is with me. Mm-hmm. The Lord is with me. His mercy is renewed each morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, I turn to you this time.
Yep. So we kind of have really, and this wasn't prepared ahead of time, but we kind of have three areas that I hear us talking about. How do you deal with it? Well, one, you recognize your shortcomings. You recognize that sin. Two, you go to God with it. That's kind of where we're at. I'm also going to add at least a three, and that is you can go to community. You need to have a community of people around you. And if you have a community of people around you, there will be people that have experienced anxiety. There'll be people that have experienced the things that you can... There's like this seclusion, isn't there, to all this. You feel like you're the only one that's ever experienced it, and that's just not true. I think about Proverbs 12:25. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Right, so anxiety weighs us down. I need people around me who are going to give me that good word. They're going to say, Brandon, you can make it through this. God is big. And I need to hear those things that I would be reminding other people of whenever I'm down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's the reason God has given us the means. You know, we see this, the means of grace. You know, the scripture, right, and confession, but also the community of the saints, the church. So he's mm-hmm. given us the word, and he's given us Christ, and he's given us the church. And so honestly, I'll just encourage us listeners, like this is a fundamental question. This is a diagnostic question we got to ask is, you know, if what is in your life causing you anxiety,
right?
Right? That's a question we got to ask. And then the question is, have you talked about it to God? Mm-hmm. And over, I find in my office, I mean, as I'm sitting across from somebody, they've never, ever prayed about it. And it seems so silly. It's like, Jonathan, I know how to pray. But often people just have such a hard time praying. It's the last thing they do. And because of the promise that we see, it's the things that troubles us most we talk to God least. So what you need to do, maybe you can't even pray, then grab somebody by the arm, like we talk about small group, right? Mm-hmm. Grab somebody by the arm and say, hey, I don't know what's going on. There's like a spiritual fog about me. I don't know if the Satan tried to attack me, but I want you to pray for me, pray beside me, and pray with me right now. Because I need somebody, you need a godly friend, mm-hmm. and also God who is our friend, to pray with one another. So I appreciate you talking about that in your community. That's the reason we need believers.
Right.
Not just on the website, not just on Facebook, but also in real life, mm-hmm. of FaceTime, of that we're praying together and doing this, you know, alongside.
Yeah, and I'll add to that community. If you're living real relationships with people, they're going to know you. And I think of an experience that I had at a church where some person, it was a lady, she brought to me her issues, and there was reasons why she had anxiety. I totally understood. I knew about three other women that had a similar issue, and I was able to reach out to those women and say, hey, could she talk to y'all? Because I was not equipped to do it, but they were, and they ended up having a conversation that was just life-giving. It was just beautiful. So community is important. We hit that 25-minute mark, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
We like talking to you guys, so hopefully you like listening. We could talk for too long. We're trying to keep these reasonable. Is there a wrap-up that you got for me?
Yeah. Again, I just want to encourage you, I think one of the things that Satan does, his intent is to steal, kill, destroy. And I think one of the things he does that we feel like we're alone, mm-hmm. and there's no escape. It's time to have a little talk with Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Talk about, various things. If you're a teenager and you're thinking about a relationship, this boy, when he smiles, he looks like, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know.
That's who you think of when you think of handsome guys?
Well, there's a Terminator movie out right now.
He looks like the Terminator.
Yeah. Or, when he smiles, he looks like Leonardo DiCaprio Jesus, right? Tell Jesus all about it. Talk to him. Pray to him and ask the Lord. Because I guarantee you, Brandon would probably agree with me. A lot of times when you stop praying, this becomes weeks and months and now years.
Yeah.
And you start making decisions based on your own decision rather than the community of the saints or the church and your own decision. I'm just going to date this guy because I'm desperate. Let me tell you, there's a lot of heartaches. I've seen dad and mom who are heartaches, and because you made a rash decision, mm-hmm. because you were not praying about it and you're not bringing those anxiety to the Lord. Talk to the Lord and talk. He wants to hear your prayer. There's somebody who delights in hearing your voice. Not everybody can say that, right? But there's somebody who longs to hear your voice. And heaven heart speed goes faster because you turn away all from the things of this world that troubles you, that you talk to yourself and talk, of your anxiety in your mind. No, come to the Lord. Cast your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. Mm-hmm. He loves you. So have a little talk with Jesus. Have a talk with, a godly man, a godly woman, Titus 2 maybe, right? An older believer. And, pray about that. Pray about a saint. Pray about a child of God. So then what happens is that the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. That's the promise that we have. So that's my, biblical understanding I see from, not just New Testament, Old Testament, but also it's just, what Scripture has modeled and given us how to respond to our anxiety.
That's good. And I just want to add one more thing, and that is simple, that people feel like they can't come before God. And that's just not true. You can come to God. You feel like God's going to be surprised with what you're dealing with. That's not true. He'll never be surprised. He already knew it before it happened. But there's a God that loves you. And he's just waiting on you to turn to him. So let me just encourage you guys. And, thank you for allowing us to walk through difficult parts of your life with you guys. Because that's real. We can talk about music and happy and do all. But this is real life. And we know it. So we're just blessed to be able to talk to you. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for everything, guys. This is Brandon and Jonathan, and I guess we're signing off.
All right. Ciao. Peace.